GAA. Former Donegal footballer Nadine Doherty is with me in studio. And Nadine, I know that out and about we can sense the country opening up again. There are some scenes that have caused some controversy with a lot of people being out and about and causing a little bit of chaos. But at the same time, it is positive to see so many people getting ready for opening fully back up. And one of the things I think that will mark that is when we see fans returning to games. And the GAA confirmed today, we knew it was coming, but from next Monday, up to 100 spectators will be permitted to attend hurling and football matches at club and inter-county level, in addition to players and officials, and 200 will be allowed into any ground that can hold at least 5,000. So that's absolutely brilliant. And Alan Milton was speaking today on RTÉ Radio, News at One on RTÉ Radio 1 earlier on, and he gave a little bit more detail. He added that dressing rooms and gyms at venues will remain closed, but club bars with outdoor facilities can reopen, and that family fun days and fundraising events will also be allowed to resume. So it is all going to really kick off and start getting back to normal next Monday, Nadine, and it's brilliant.
It's brilliant. It's great to see the summer is here. And just for the GAA, I think obviously that's my line of things. It's fantastic. You know, the North have been a little bit ahead of us, so they've paved the pathway. The only problem they've had there is who to give the tickets to, you know. They kind of started with clubs, sponsors, players and so on. So I'd imagine we'll follow the same path here, but it's brilliant. Can't wait to get back.
There'll be lots of people now volunteering for jobs over
Absolutely,
the next few days.
Yeah,
trying
clubs
to get
will be inundated.
Definitely.
Totally.
And I think as well, Nadine, when we've seen the action now on television, on streaming, and it's been really good. And the ladies' football has been brilliant, and particularly the Cork and Dublin match at the weekend. Just the pure pace of it, the scores, it felt like at championship level, but it did make you want to be able to start going to games again.
Oh, absolutely. And I suppose not even that game, but all the games that we see, you know, without supporters, you can hear every sound, you can hear every coach. As a player, you can't pretend anymore to not hear the referee's whistle. You can't pretend to not hear instructions from the sideline. So look, getting these people back in will bring it even more of a level. I do think that Cork-Dublin game, as you said, was absolutely incredible. You know, looking at individual players, Hannah Turrell, obviously, who you spoke about on Monday, she had an unbelievable game. I thought Lindsay Davey was absolutely unbelievable. I feel like I'm the chairperson of the Lindsay Davey fan club, but you know, Hannah came up with the scores when it counted, but I just thought Lindsay, over the full, you know, she came off at maybe 5-10 minutes to go, but for those 50 minutes she just pulled the strings everywhere, as she did the week before, and she's been unreal. Another revelation, Abby Shields, the Dublin keeper. She made 4, I counted possibly 5 point blank saves, and if Cork look back over that match, I feel they will be kicking themselves, because if you bring it down to chances taken, Cork probably have a lot of gaps in that area. You know, I also said it last week, I just see Cork and Dublin, they've moved further ahead of the gang. They've added to their squads that I don't think other teams have. Players like, I feel, Niamh Hetherington, who last year, you know, she was kind of coming to the fore. Caoimhe O'Connor, Siobhan Killeen, all these players now look like absolute contenders. And you're looking at, you know, where does Niamh McAvoy fit in? Where does Lauren McGee fit in? Where does Niamh Collins even fit in at the back? I mean, they just look so complete already. And Cork as well, Saoimhe O'Leary, the real deal. I mean, I just thought, you know, maybe day one, first day of the league. But watching her against Dublin, I mean, the confidence, the bounce, the finishing, unbelievable. Dara Kiely, I think Eric O'Shea has gone to a whole other level. Looking at that Cork half-back line, Eric O'Shea, Melissa Duggan and Hutchinson in the middle. I mean, who is going to stop these two teams, you know?
Let's have a look at Hannah Turrell, or a chat about Hannah Turrell, because she has, as we have spoken about before, she just retired from international rugby only a little while ago. And for her to be able to come out and do what she's doing on the Gaelic football field, I know she was a 10 and she was a kicker and all the rest, but it's still a different game. And to be able to make the impact like that, it's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, I know Hannah from football for 10-12 years. So she would have started off with the Clondalkin club, and they were intermediate at the time. They moved up to senior. They had a couple of county players, but Hannah was so good, she actually ended up playing everywhere for them. She was in goals, she was midfield, she was centre forward. And it kind of went against her then in terms of stepping up to the county. Then she found rugby, obviously, for the couple of years, excelled at that. And then she came back to football. She's been playing with Nafina for, I think, 2 years now. And I watched their county semi-final against Kilmacud Crokes last year. And I'm actually going to take half the credit for getting Hannah back on the county team. I actually hashtagged Hannah Turrell for Dublin. And I was talking to her after, I was texting her, you know, but as you said, she just fitted in so seamlessly. I think that day she scored maybe 5 or 6 points, but it was what she created. And she was so important for Nafina. Nafina are building. The club are coming back to the forefront of senior football in Dublin, and Hannah is a key part of that, and she's just stepped into that Dublin team seamlessly. But I think it speaks volumes for the players who are already there. They've allowed her to fit in seamlessly. They've, you know, allowed her to step into their style of play, and it just all seems to have come together. But when you're an athlete like Hannah, you're going to excel at absolutely everything, you know.
But when you compare her to, we'll say, the girls that have came back from Australia in the top division, they haven't made the impact that she has made. Coming from a, I know obviously the AFL is a different sport as well, but it's more similar than rugby would be to football. But she's made a bigger impact than they have. Their form, really, to just generalise nearly as that group, hasn't been what you'd expect. They haven't made that impact.
No, and you know, not only looking at Lauren McGee and Niamh McAvoy in Dublin, Sinead Goldrick obviously is injured, but looking at the Kellys as well with Mayo. Niamh has played but has had very little impact. She scored a cracker of a point at the weekend, but you know, for her, usually you'd expect her to be much more influential. Grace has come off the bench. Maybe the girls are injured, I'm not sure. You know, maybe coaches are easing them back in. But they haven't made that impact that we expected. You know, we spoke to Aisling Sheridan back at the start of a couple of weeks ago, and we had actually questioned, and Dunica had questioned, you know, would the rest of the GA world be able to keep pace with these Aussie rules players? And I think the answer is absolutely yes. And if anything, they've surpassed what the girls have brought. So it might make a few people double think going to Australia. You know, if we didn't have COVID, we would be coming up to the beginning of championship now, and these girls still aren't making an impact on their teams. So it might have a little influence down the line. It might make players think twice about making that choice to go down under, because the training obviously is completely different. You know, you're tapering your fitness levels at different times. You're not in sync with your county team. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be worth watching now over the summer to see
how
they get
absolutely.
On. Because, you know, the expectation is that the numbers are going to rise, but I think it will nearly hinge on how they do get on at home, because, you know, it's the county team at home that really does take precedence. You know, you're nearly going to have to pick soon, especially if the season is getting extended
longer
over there, and probably will keep getting extended. So we've seen Cork and Dublin now in full flight, Nadine. We know what they're capable of. We've seen what's in their armour. Have we seen any chinks, though?
I think Cork's kickouts are a huge problem at the minute. If Cork don't get that ball off quickly and they're forced into a set play kick out, they struggle. Dublin really punished them. Their first goal, their third goal, direct from kick outs. I think the defence, and you'd be surprised for a Cork defence, when they turn over that kick out, they're very slow to filter back and protect that D. We saw Dublin, and Dublin are the best at doing it. I mean, they're going to punish you if you give away a kick out. They were just able to either work it in without being touched, or a couple of balls went in over the top. Like Hannah's brilliant second goal was straight from a kick out. So yeah, I think that could be a chink for Cork. Dublin, you might have to come back to me in a couple of weeks. You know, even their game management in that last 5 minutes, like, they were clever enough, you know.
They're building every year, though, aren't they? They're just getting better at, like, anything that you thought, okay, they might need a little bit of work on that, they work on it and they come back. And it's more confident they're getting. It's more players they're finding. It's more cover for the different positions that they have.
Yeah, because last year, you know, I would have been critical during the league. I did question, are these players good enough to step into the shoes of the players who are possibly coming to the end of their tenure? And they used last year to perfection, and here they are now, and they're just stronger than ever. But I don't know, a chink, maybe themselves, too much competition for places, and things might get, you know, a bit overly competitive on the training pitch. I don't know, but I mean, that's all I can see at the minute.
Yeah, well, we did see Man City in the Champions League final. It can happen to the very best team when things don't go their way on the big day. So things that did go someone's way was Donegal at the weekend. I don't think we were expecting them to defeat Mayo, but they absolutely grounded out, won 11 to 11 points.
Yeah, I didn't expect it. I'm obviously an avid Donegal supporter and an advocate for them as far as possible, but I just felt watching their game against Westmeath, I really didn't see this performance coming. They dictated the pace of the game. They slowed it down when they had to. They controlled possession around midfield. And Mayo just overly relied on Rachel Cairns, I felt. And young Evelyn McGinley from Donegal did a stellar job. She forced her out the pitch. And the places where Rachel Cairns was getting possession, well, I mean, she wasn't much danger to Donegal. I thought Niamh Hegarty was absolutely fantastic. I thought herself and Karen Guthrie, they rolled the ears back and Karen got those scores when it counted. But I mean, Niamh was like the Niamh I know from 5 or 6 years ago, who was unmarkable. I mean, Mayo, they just couldn't mark her. When she came deep to midfield or the half-back line, she was getting on ball, they couldn't touch her. Then she'd go in corner forward and she was running the lines and she scored two incredible points. So they were just fantastic. Aoife McColgan, the goalkeeper, 4 point-blank saves, fantastic. And, you know, credit to Aoife because she's a very young keeper. She burst on the scene a couple of years ago when Donegal got to the league final. She was fantastic. And then her form probably dipped for a couple of years, but she has really worked on her game, worked on her kick-outs, worked on her own strength conditioning, and she's turned into a really top keeper. Mayo, I just felt... I'm not really sure about this Mayo team yet this year. I think Michael Moyles is maybe struggling to see what their best setup is. You know, Fiona, who we have mentioned the last 2 weeks, but we have to because she's such a huge player. Fiona started in the half forward line this week. She dropped back a little bit again, didn't really get into the game. I just think as well, defensively with Mayo, their defenders are really good at going forward, but defensively they're... I know they only conceded 1-11 in fairness against Donegal, but defensively I think they probably should work on that a little bit.
Because when they come up against a team like Cork or like Dublin, it'll be a completely different story.
And I mean, with all due respect to Donegal, you know, they're at a level below Cork and Dublin. And I feel that Galway game flattered Mayo. I do. But look, it's game two. We can't be too harsh. But yeah, I'm just still trying to figure them out, to be honest.
I think when a new manager comes in, it does take a little bit of time.
Absolutely.
There is a little bit of experimentation, as we saw with Tipperary, who still kind of haven't found their straps, lost to Waterford at the weekend.
Yeah, and you know, I just loved watching Tip over the last few years. I felt, you know, they were the battlers. They always come in as underdogs, but they never let us down. I mean, this time last year, they drew with Dublin in the league. And now we're looking at them and, you know, I counted over the weekend, they've conceded 8-28 in 2 games. You know, you're never going to get anywhere in Division One with that. It was good to see Maloney move back into full forward. She scored her 8 points, which we'd expect from her. I felt management got it wrong against Cork. They tried to mix it up a little bit. They brought her back, tried to get her to do that kind of, you know, roving role. But Erica O'Shea absolutely ate her up and scored 2 points. So she kind of, you know, I don't think it's for her. But I just think Tip, they just looked really dead. They looked really down. I hope they fix it for Championship because, as I said, I love watching them. But, you know, they do have to do something defensively because that forward line does work in itself. And yeah, Waterford, look, great performance. They've put themselves in the mix. They could get a shock result this weekend. Not likely, but hey, look, they're not in a relegation battle. So
we've had an answer to our Australian players coming back and why they haven't. We haven't seen them in as we usually see them. They're only training 2 weeks since they've came back, so they're only getting back into the flow of things. So that just adds now to the Dublin situation.
There you go.
Yeah, they're going to be back back in full flight very, very soon. So yeah, just to move on then to this weekend, because we do have some really big games again. And, you know, that group with Galway, Mayo, Donegal, it's still wide open.
Yeah, wide open. 2 out of the 3 can go through. So Galway, Donegal, you'd kind of look at that as, you know, winner takes all in a way. Can Donegal improve further again this week? They'll have to. They will have to. I just can't see them living with that pace that Galway bring. It's a very different pace to Mayo. Watching them there at the weekend, you know, Galway, Dublin and Cork, they seem to have 3 or 4 options for every player on the ball, whereas other teams maybe have 1. And saying that, chink in the armour, Donegal will get chances against that Galway defence. They definitely will. I could see Galway sneaking it though. And then look, you know, I'd be very surprised if anything other than a Mayo win against Westmeath, but I don't think Mayo will beat Westmeath enough to to get through. So my fingers are crossed for a Galway Donegal top two.
Can Waterford pull up off a shock against Cork, do you think?
No, I can't see it. You know, all due respect to Waterford, they'll battle. They'll set up defensively. They'll frustrate Cork. They won't give up. They'll go for it up front. Emer Fennell, Delahunty, I mean, they scored, I don't know what they scored between them the last day, but look, Cork will look at it too. They have a lot of players looking for a spot in the league semi-final, but I don't think that the shock will be there.
Yeah, well, it's been really enjoyable football so far.
Oh, brilliant, Marie. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. And it's just been a joy to be able to watch it.
Game on. Check out the podcast on the RTÉ Radio Player app.